take a seat. We're just going to start the next couple of weeks a new theme of identity, looking at who we are as individuals, as a church. It's partly in response to the Church of England's mammoth text they've sent out, called Living in Love and Faith. If you want to know, that's kind of the source of what we're looking at. A little bit, in our own way. What's that? No, we won't be here for the next 3 years. No, just 4 weeks. But, you know, we want to pick out the key elements of like who we are, our identity. And so Fiona is going to bring us our reading. Thanks, Fiona.
This week's reading is Romans 8, 38 and 39 from the Passion Translation. And just before I read it, this is a very significant passage for myself and for Mark. It was read at our wedding, and also it's actually written on the inside of our rings. So we have Romans 8, 38 and 39 instead of our date. So this verse comes with us wherever we go. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. There is no power above us or beneath us. No power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One.
I bet you're glad you didn't have the Passion version on the inside of the ring. You'd have to get bigger rings. Okay, we need to play some games. It's an all-age service, after all. So I need a couple of volunteers, maybe four volunteers, maybe some on each side. Okay, should we have... Well, we've got... I just saw four hands go up, I think. We've got two there, one there. Was your hand up? No. Well, let's have you two guys there. So two Bradburys. Morgan. And anyone else? Anyone else want to join? Just an adult? Go on then, Charlotte. Thank you. Okay, so Charlotte, if you want to come over here with Morgan on this side. Okay, we're just going to play a game of Guess Who, first of all. I apologise if you can't see the individual names, but if we put the next... So can you see these slides? So I'm going to pick a person, okay, and you've got to guess who it is by asking questions. So I'm going to pick one person, so we'll go to one team at a time. You can ask me one question, and I can only say yes or no. Okay? So... Okay. Right. Okay, I've got someone. So you need to ask me a question.
Wait, who's chosen?
I've chosen, so you've got to ask me a question, and I'm going to say yes or no.
Are they female?
Yes. Are they female? Yes.
Oh.
Okay. You can talk into there if you want. You can talk into there.
Have they got blonde hair?
No. Thank you. Okay, female, not blonde hair.
Have they got brown hair?
Brown hair?
Yeah.
No, not brown hair.
Is it Dot?
It is Dot. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, very good. Brilliant. Very good. I chose the crazy one with the pink hair. Okay, we'll do one more. Okay, right. You start. Start again. Different person.
Oh, wait, what? I'm saying...
A new person. A new person.
So you can,
I've guessed.
Okay.
You've got to guess. Same again.
Okay. Are they female?
Female. No, not a female.
Do they have facial hair?
Do they have facial hair? No.
Do they have brown hair?
No. pale skin? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's Dave. Very good. Okay, right. Thank you. Right, you can sit down. Thank you. Actually, no, stay up here. We'll do another game. Right, so, but you're team leaders, right? So, this people on this team, they're your team. Okay, people on this side, they're on your team. Okay, we're going to play a game of Name the Celebrity. Okay, so I should have a little jingle, shouldn't I? That's kind of right. Okay, so we're going to go with this team first, okay? So your team can help you, but you've got to say the name, okay? So ask anyone on your team if you don't know, but who is this individual?
Yeah,
who is it? Oprah Winfrey. Very good. 1 point to this team. Okay, next team.
Do you know it?
Who?
Dora the Explorer.
Very good. Okay. Okay. You knew that, did you? Very good. Okay, we're going to go to this team again now because we're going to switch you around a bit. So, third one.
Do you know that?
Dwayne
The Rock Johnson. The Rock Johnson. Right, even got his nickname. Very good. Okay, this team. Next one. Patrick. Yeah, sorry. Good, yeah, it is Patrick. Okay. Next one. This team. We're going to switch this. Okay. Will Smith, correct. This team? Too easy, aren't they?
Olaf,
very good. Okay. You again?
Ed Sheeran,
very good. Too good at this. Next team? This one? Now, how many people aged 40 years and above have we got in this this team? Anyone know? Does anyone know? No? Anyone on this team? Say what you see. Say what you see. It's Cat Dog. It's Cat Dog. It's that famous cartoon from the 70s or 80s. Okay, last question on this team. You could win it with this.
You know? Greta Thunberg.
Greta Thunberg. I think that's right, yeah. Very good. Okay, you can sit down. Very good. Oh, we got one more. Okay. Chance to equalise. Okay. Who is this? What's the name? George, you might have to help him. Chase! It's all right, correct. Very good. Very good, excellent. I think that's the last one, isn't it? Yeah, thank you. Okay. Brilliant. Thank you. You can sit down. Okay, so names. So we're talking about names. Very significant in the Bible, names. I don't know if you notice. When you read names, there's often a significance to them. And there's some examples that I've put on the screen here. And often the name tells you something about the identity of the person. That's what we're looking at today, looking at identity, particularly in names. So someone in the Bible called Joshua, obviously you know Joshua from the book of Joshua, Joshua, son of Nun. Now, he wasn't the son of a nun. That would be difficult. The son of a person called Nun. Okay, so his name tells us something about his parents, his heritage, what he's inherited. Then we have Bildad the Shuhite. Rather catchy name. You don't get many of those nowadays, do you? Bildad the Shuhite was from the clan of the Shuhites. So his name tells us a little bit about where he was from. Just going back to the son of Nun, it's interesting. We still get a little bit of that, don't we, in some cultures, like Ericsson, you know, the footballer from Sweden, Ericsson, son of Eric. So we still get that kind of sense in modern culture, don't we? Simon of Cyrene, because he came from a particular region called Cyrene. It's a bit like saying Scottish Steve, I suppose, or Wendy from Wales, or others. And then you have Simon the Zealot, which tells us a little bit about his personality as well. He was zealous, but also he was a member of a group of people who were the Zealots. If you've seen the life of Brian, it's like the People's Front of Judea. It's like kind of, you know, the Scottish National Party, if you want, you know, sort of passionate about their nation and protecting it. And it's no different to the modern day life. So if you have the next slide, you can see modern day life. We have Bob the Builder. Bob is a builder. We have Larry the Cucumber. Larry is a cucumber. It doesn't always work, as you can see. Winnie is not a poo. So names often, actually, maybe move the slide on. I always have this thing. I remember once doing a talk about the significance of words, and but accidentally the last slide I had in the set was one of Hitler, and then I'd left him up there for quite a long time. It was slightly unnerving, just having his picture looking down on us. So yeah, that's good. We'll come to that in a minute. But names often have meanings, and I wonder if you know what your name means. Does people know what their name is? People, go on then. Shining lights, lovely. Libby? Freedom. God's love and joy. Say again. Peace. Peaceful river. Oh, wow. A female what? Female sheep. Does it really? Well, if it didn't before, it does now. Yeah. Very good. So it's time for another game, I think. So I've got some meanings of names up there, and we've got a bowl here. Ali, maybe you could hold that. So again, like, what I need is just somebody to run out from this team. So do you want the herds come and grab? Yeah, take it over to them. Yeah, why not? And choose a name, and then your team has got to guess from the screen, if you can see it, which of these, Elizabeth, okay. So what you need to do, this team, is look on that screen, if you can see it, hopefully. Which of those meanings is Elizabeth? Any ideas? It's quite a tricky one to start with, actually. Little girl, no? God has heard, nearly, but not quite. No. No. Okay, so we'll pass on Elizabeth. We'll get to the other side. Yeah. Okay. Who wants to choose one? We don't have to do anything except for choose one. We'll come back to Elizabeth. Actually, I'll tell you. It's my God is an oath. So it's about an oath. Gabriel. Okay, we've got Gabriel on this. You picked some really tough ones to start with. Gabriel, any idea which one Gabriel is? God is with us. God is with us, no. Star. Not star.
Flight.
It's going well, isn't it? Not flight. It's got God in it. God is my strong man. Very good. Okay, but Gabriel kind of being the strong angel. Should we do a few more? Val, what have you got? Bethany. Oh, it's another tricky one. Okay, which one do you think Bethany is? I'll give you a clue. It's a place in the Bible, obviously. Jesus went there a lot. So it's something to do with, go on, House of Figs. Very good. Presumably there were lots of fig trees as well as olive trees in Bethany. So, yeah. Eve. Okay, we might have a chance for this one. Eve? No. Giver of life. Very good. Giver of life. Okay, so that's 1-0 to this team. Okay, we do one more each. Yeah. Rebecca. That's a toughie as well. Think about the the person in the Bible, Rebecca, and what she was sort of part of or what she did. And no. It's to join together, yeah, to join or tie together. Yeah, very good, very good. So it's 1-1, so you could win it with this one. Are they going to pick an easy one? Thomas. Didymus. Steve's trying to give you the answer. He's already said it. Huh? It is twin, yes, yeah. Didymus the twin, yeah. Thank you, Ali. Brilliant. So notice on quite a lot of those, God is mentioned, okay? You've got Emmanuel, which we obviously celebrate every Christmas. God is with us. We've got God is my judge, Daniel. God is my strong man, Gabriel. God has heard is Samuel. My God is an oath, Elizabeth. Yeah, I'll send them out tomorrow if you want to. If you want all the others. So God is involved in a lot of these names, and so it just got me wondering and pondering how to summarize that. But this is the way I kind of thought of summarizing it: an encounter with God does not leave our identity unchanged. When we encounter God, we cannot remain the same. We are changed, and our identity is changed and transformed as well. And we're going to see that in a very physical way next week when Jisook is baptized, you know, to remind us of our baptism. You know, when we are changed forever, when we become a follower of Jesus, we can't remain the same. We just sang. How can we stay the same? How can we not give praise? So there's something about our identity and our relationship to God. That's what I want us to think about. How is our identity connected with how we relate to God? And there's other people in the Bible that we haven't mentioned that do encounter God, and in fact, not only does their identity change, their name changes, doesn't it? I'm sure you can think of examples, although I don't ask the 8:30 lot. I think they were half asleep at the time. But Morgan, can you think of someone? Peter becomes, what was he called before? Simon becomes Peter when he is transformed by Jesus. He meets with Jesus in a different way. Saul becomes Paul. Brilliant, exactly. Any others? Abraham becomes Abraham, exactly. Sarai becomes Sarah, indeed. Absolutely brilliant. There's another one you might not know. Jacob becomes Israel. And that's really significant, I think, when we think about our identity, and we'll talk about it in a moment, about our identity as individuals, but also our identity as part of a greater whole. And there's something really profound about Jacob in particular when his identity is caught up in the whole nation of Israel and God's people. So an encounter with God does not leave our identity unchanged. It's woven, our identity is woven into our relationship with God. And the Bible's full of stories that encounter God. I just wondered, we maybe got a few moments, if people have got any testimonies they wanted to share, any brief stories they might have of how they've encountered God, how it's maybe changed them. Anyone got anything that they wanted to share in that respect? No, you're all the same. Has anyone been healed? Has anyone experienced God's healing? Oh, yeah, exactly. Hazel, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, thank you, Lord. So your identity completely changed. You became a mother in that aspect. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. I was waiting.
Just to be really brief.
That'll be the day.
Scamming, your personality, I could go on and on, but it's
And one of the stories you shared a couple of weeks ago struck me, that you said that the your friend in the scam noticed the difference in you. And yeah, exactly. But there was something I was thinking about in terms of our identity. We notice a lot about our identity from how others see us as well, you know, and that definitely happened to you, and you just sort of notice that.
Just
briefly, yeah. That's really good. So our identity is shaped by other people as well, and that's what I'm coming to as well. That, you know, obviously begins with our parents, doesn't it? Our parents shape us; they shape our identity, and how we know who we are through them. So we in the best examples, obviously there are examples where it's not so constructive, I suppose. But the best examples, we learn that we're loved, we learn that we're protected, that we're known, that we have a purpose. That we're cared for. All these things come from the way that we are treated and the way we experience other people and the way they identify with us. And then as we grow older, that influence widens, and that's kind of a scary moment, isn't it, where we go out into the world and there is much more influence on us. And those of us that are parents of young adults that go to university, there's that moment where you think, oh, all those influences, and yet we have to trust. But some of them are life-enhancing, and some of them are not. But our identity is affected by it. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that we need to think beyond the fact that our identity is not just a deeply personal thing, because it is. Who we are is deeply personal. But it's also deeply communal and relational, isn't it? Who we are is affected by people we meet, people we know, the way they treat us. But ultimately, the one relationship that really matters and really impacts identity, or should do, is our relationship with God. You know, the way we relate to God. If we know God, if we've met God, if we receive what he says about us, then everything else is a shadow of that. Everything else is a shadow. All the other comments, the actions of other people are a shadow of what God says to us, because he's the one who knows us. He's the one who knows us. He's our creator. He's the one who knitted us together in our mother's womb. He's the one that knows our thoughts. And as we allow God to relate to us, as we relate to God, our identity becomes more and more in tune with the way that God created us to be. And if you want to know how God feels about you, if that sounds an alien thing, we just have to look at Jesus. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the very essence of God. He's the full incarnation of who God is. He's not just a sort of picture of God. He is the fullness of the deity. So if you want to know what God is like, we look at Jesus. And we want to know what God thinks about us. Well, Jesus' life was summed up in one action, and that's the cross. The cross is what God thinks of us. God thinks you are worth dying for. That's all we need to know. You are worth dying for. You are worth Jesus going to the cross for. God will do anything to know you. He's prepared to go to the end of the world and the end of his own life so that you can experience his love. God loves you. Wupawahe, I've written. But that's our identity. Well, everything else is extra. Your identity is someone who's loved by God. And we call ourselves Christians because we identify with Jesus. We identify with that image of God, that God is who we see in Jesus. I've lost my place. Yeah, I was going to come on to talk about our identity as corporate, as members of something bigger than ourselves, because I think that's really important. It's important to know we're loved. It's important to know as individuals that we're loved. God died for you, but God died for us too. He died for us, all of us. And we identify with that as the church, as the body of Christ. And I think we can get too individualistic about our identity. We can think far too long and hard about who I am, and we forget that we are part of something. We're part of the body of Christ. We're part of the church. And we've already talked about the fact that our relationships are significant to our identity, and how much greater as the church. You know, our relationships enhance our identity, don't they? And we read in the Bible, God speaks, and it's interesting, we come back to Jacob. God speaks to Israel, doesn't he, quite a lot. And he doesn't just talk to Jacob. He doesn't just talk to Abraham and Isaac. He talks to Israel, the whole people of God. And our identity needs to reflect that. And so much of Scripture talks to us in relational terms about who we are. I think that's why in the early service, you know, some of the liturgy we use, you know, it sums up the whole of the law and the prophets, sums up the whole of the Bible, really, by two statements: love God and love one another. And that's our identity, isn't it? That's our identity, is that we are loved, we love God, and that we're to love one another. And we love one another because we are reflecting that identity as love people. So let's just maybe take a moment. Let's just close our eyes and let's just receive afresh those words from God. You know, that he loves us, that you are worth dying for. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for that statement. An encounter with you does not leave our identity unchanged, Lord. We are changed forever because we have met you, because we know you. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that changes us. And Lord, we want to be more like you, Jesus. We see the fullness of God in Jesus. We see the full expression of humanity in Jesus. He lived his life loving God and loving those around him. And Lord, I just pray you'd show us afresh what that means for us as individuals. How we can love you more, how we can love one another more. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we're going to sing again.